The question today is, what are the qualifications of a deacon in the Baptist Church, New Testament Baptist Church? Well, we can read this, what the Bible says and what he outlines for the deacon. As we've said before, a deacon is a servant. And yet, here's where it brings out the qualifications as Paul's writing Timothy, young preacher, telling him about the qualifications of the pastor and also of the deacon in chapter 3 of 1 Timothy. Verse number 8, it says, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, and let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul said are the qualifications of the deacons. Now let's break it down a little bit and describe what these qualifications mean. He says likewise in verse number 8. The word likewise indicates that God has equally important standards for the deacon as he does for the pastor. We've dealt with the standards of a pastor, the qualifications of the pastor in the past broadcast. And so therefore, he says he's to be like the pastor, have important standards. Then he begins to list these standards as he says he must be grave. The word be grave means held in high respect. It means, in other words, by the people, the church, if you please, and the community as well. He's not only grave, but he's not to be double-tongued. That means he's not to say one thing while he means another, or say one thing to one person and another thing to another person. In other words, he's not to be a chameleon that agrees with everybody. I've seen some people who claim to be deacons, and they'll amen the truth, and then they'll amen error. They have no idea what the Word of God says. They're double-tongued when they do that. And the deacon is not to be given to much wine. This is talked about, and it's the same as the pastor. And by the way, this is for anybody in the church, as far as that matter is concerned. They're not to have an inclination towards strong drink. In other words, they're not to partake that. Now, God allowed alcoholic beverages to be created for you to be used for medicinal purposes. But you're not to go down to the local liquor store and buy it. We use it in medicine from the drug store, and they're used that way. But don't be given to that. Don't be given over to strong drink. That's what he's using the word here for. And so, in fact, the Bible says don't even look up on it in the book of Proverbs when it moveth itself aright. Folks, strong drink is raging. It's sin. It's not right. And there's no such thing as drinking in moderation. The deacon is definitely not to be given to that. Neither is the pastor to be given. And for that matter, any other member of the New Testament church is to be given to strong drink. Also said he's not to be greedy of filthy lucre there in verse number 8. That's the same as the pastor's. It talked about him not to be greedy of filthy lucre. But that means not eager for disgraceful or vile gain. In other words, not to and be eager for something that's not gotten legally or rightly, if you please. In other words, it means not to adapt a questionable means of livelihood. Some things you just don't need to be involved in. For instance, a member of a church, a pastor, or a deacon ought not to drive a beer truck and sell beer. That's a questionable means of livelihood. Ought not to do that. Anyone. Not just a deacon, but anyone. Not to do that. Also, verse 9 says, having the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, or holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And that word holding means to have or possess. The word mystery means truth which was kept hidden from the world until revealed at the appointed time, and which is a secret to ordinary eyes, but is made known by the illumination of the Holy Spirit. The word faith here, used in verse number 9 of 1 Timothy chapter 3, refers to the Christian system of revelation. It refers to the whole revealed body of truth. And he says we're to hold it in a pure conscience. The word pure means clean, that which is free from soil or stain. In other words, it means to be washed in the blood and cleansed daily by confessing your sins. The Bible said in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A deacon should be confessed up. He should have his sins washed by the blood. He ought to be a pure conscience. The word conscience means that inward judge that bears witness to our actions. It means living what one professes. In other words, by your actions. Your actions speaks louder than your words. And these words in verse 9 are spoken as if the pure conscience were the vessel in which the mystery of faith is preserved. And therefore, also this verse is in contrast with chapter 4, verse number 1 and 2 of 1 Timothy, when he says this, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." In other words, they're branded in their own consciousness and depart from the faith and cause others also to depart. Anyone who does that has not been saved. We've dealt with that many times on this broadcast. And I pray that you'll realize that there's many people hiding behind the cloak of pastor that's not saved. There's many hiding behind the cloak of deacon that's not saved. And therefore, they have been deceived. And what happens, the deacon, though, is to have a pure conscience. Have a pure conscience, having that or holding that, as the Bible talks about. But the one who has a pure conscience lives what he professes, thus causing others to be drawn to the faith instead of departing from the faith. In other words, the Bible speaks about the work of reproval must be is translated to tell a fault, which means to give evidence of. And that's what a person's life should do. That's why he says, "Let your light so shine before others that men might see Christ in you and glorify God by being saved." That's what it deals with in Matthew 5:16 and 1 Peter 2:12, as we've dealt with before. And therefore, you should live what you profess. If you say you're saved, live that. In other words, let the balance of the scales come up. Be counted worthy of what you profess that Ephesians talks about. Therefore, the deacon should definitely be that way. The pastor should be that way. Verse number 10 says, "And let those also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless." The word "proved" means to be put to the test for the purpose of approving. It means having met the test, then they are approved by the church because God's put them there. Also, the word "also" means the pastor must first be approved as well as the deacon. And thus he's found blameless. And that's a judicial term, meaning he's unaccused. While being proved, their life is being watched as if before a jury. And if they were found accused, they would be blameless. If there's accused, they would not be blameless and wouldn't qualify for the office of a deacon. I know many today who claim the office of deacon, office of a pastor, who are not blameless. They don't meet the qualifications for those offices. Then it says in verse number 10, "Let them use the office of a deacon." In other words, use the office of a deacon is one word which means to minister or to serve. That's why the deacon is a servant. And being found blameless, verse 10 brings out. That's a conditional clause in the Greek, which means provided they're unaccused, they're found blameless, and let them serve in that position. Also, verse number 11 says, "Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things." In other words, their wives must meet some standards as well before the husband would be qualified as a deacon. Many deacons are disqualified because their wife doesn't meet the qualifications that they need to have. It said to be grave. The word "grave" means to be held in high respect. It speaks of that combination of gravity and dignity which invites the reverence of others. It means not slanderous. Not to be one who falsely accuses and divides people without any reason. The word's a word for the devil. In other words, do not be a devil is what he's saying about the wife. She's not to be a devil. It also says she's to be sober. That means that's the same word as vigilant in verse number 2 when it talks about the wife, the husband of one wife, the bishop's to be vigilant. He's to be vigilant. But you see, so is the wife of the deacon to be vigilant or sober, which means temperate, referring to sober judgment and action. That shows the fruit of the Spirit operating in her life, that of temperance, self-control, by aid of the Holy Spirit. And she's to be faithful in all things. And the word faithful means trustworthy. It means being true to the trust imposed in her. Now, many men have been disqualified from being a deacon and a pastor because of their wives. The wives have to meet the responsibility or the qualifications that he laid down here. Also, he said in verse number 12, the deacon, let the deacons be husband of one wife. That means, of course, what it says, no bigamy, but it doesn't mean one wife at a time. It means that a divorced man who has been remarried by state law does not qualify to be a deacon, nor a pastor. That doesn't mean he has to be married, as some people try to make it out, but it means that he's not to be remarried after that he was once married. Now, it just means there must be no question as to his marriage standards. He's also to be head of his house, as the last part of verse 12 brings out. He said, ruling their children and their own houses well. In other words, it involves meeting the responsibility given to him as head of the household. In other words, the wife is to be in subjection. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. You realize something, many men's wives are not in subjection. She wants to run. She wants to be the head. She wants to rule. Many of the church problems today is because the wife of the deacon is trying to run the church, and that's not to be that way. God said she's not to teach or usurp authority. And the head of the house, the deacon, should be head of his house. And that means training up their children. Proverbs 22:6 said, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. And the result is that they have used the office of a deacon well, in verse number 13. And they well purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. In other words, it means if they've ministered or served well, or the word well means rightly or nobly, they acquire a position of trust and influence in the church. The word purchase there means to acquire. The word good degree means an honorable position in esteem of the fellow Christian. And they acquire great boldness in the faith. The word boldness means free and bold speaking. It means he'll be able to speak freely and openly about the things of the Lord and not be ashamed. And that's what Stephen did in Acts 7:51-53. When he died for his stand, he was a preaching deacon. He spoke boldly and openly. Listen, the deacons must meet the qualifications. And if they don't meet that, we should not have deacons in our church. If we have no men who meet those qualifications, because the true New Testament church doesn't have to have deacons. If you had 8,000 members, you might need some to help serve, and others can fulfill that position and not be ordained to do that. But they need to meet those qualifications if they're to be ordained deacons. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.